Dr. Gordon Ryan is joining me. It's always great when I get a chance to see you. Doc, how are you?
Good morning. Yes, just fine, Tom.
All right. The doc is a doctor of veterinarian science. And what we'd like is if you've got a question about your pet's health, cat,
dogs,
dog, macaw, whatever you got.
I'll answer those that I can that we've pets and the dogs and cats.
Yeah, he's preferably the furry type. If you say your lizard's coughing, you may struggle with that one. But the phone lines are open right now. And matter of fact, our first phone call is already here, Doc. If you want to call, 985-5803 or star 1340. That's 985-5803 or star 1340. What's your Well, apparently they hung up. We'll let them try again. 985-5803 or star 1340. So, spring, summer. All right. I guess we have to start with, is it parasites? Is that where we should start?
Poison ticks are, of course, right now. We've had a relatively mild winter that is nice in the winter, but you're going to pay for it in the summertime with the increased number of fleas and ticks because you don't get that winter kill that would normally be there.
All right. Now, here's the thing. Are fleas a discomfort and ticks a legitimate threat, or am I oversimplifying and not seeing enough?
They're a legitimate threat. For some animals, they are literally life and death if they happen to carry one of the diseases that are actually fairly common. Especially ticks carry a lot of things. And we've talked about this before. You had some personal experience with Ehrlichia, one of the rickettsia diseases that dogs get from ticks.
Kind of scary.
Yeah, it is. It can be. It can be very, very, very scary, and it can be life-threatening. It can go anywhere from asymptomatic, they've had it and you didn't even know it, to actually fatal in 48 hours. Right. I have seen a few of those. That is really scary when you see those.
And so we picked up on the fact that my furry boy buddy got sick and just wanted to lay there, and that was not his standard. Well, it's like you're saying, just ain't acting right. Just ain't doing right, I think it is, isn't it?
You guys say ADR.
ADR, just ain't acting right.
Yeah.
Ehrlichia is one. All right. And what's interesting,
Lyme
when I think
disease
about Ehrlichia,
is another. Of course, people hear about that.
After you cure the animal of Ehrlichia, it still tests positive afterwards.
For a while. Usually that they will seroconvert. They'll become not positive. Sometimes in a year, sometimes it'll take a couple of years. That's where you really get into a dilemma, too, Tom. If they're still positive, they had it next year, and they're asymptomatic, is this a new disease?
Right.
Because they develop no immunity to it whatsoever. You can have it again and again and again and again.
Yeah, quick test, by the way.
Or is it an old one?
Quick test, by the way, on finding out whether that's the case. At least that was my experience. Now, you just got ready to breach another subject, which is a threat to not only little hairy buddies, but also people. Lyme disease.
Yeah. Lyme disease, luckily, we don't have near the Lyme disease that they did, of course, in Connecticut, which was and out on the East Coast, which is where it was named for, Lyme, Connecticut, are the amount that they have in some of the northern states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Those are bad Lyme states, too. But we do see some. We see occasional cases, and they do see some in people. In fact, it's kind of been a controversy in our area. In people, they sometimes think that it's just not here, and yet there are certain places where they do diagnose it routinely, and usually it's in a chronic state, which is much more severe for the person. It's been there for years and undiagnosed.
And by the way, if you've got a phone call, a question, you'd like to make a call and ask a question, Dr. Gordon Ryan, 985-5803 or star 1340. It's 985-5803 star 1340. Okay, spring, summer, parasites and the problems they present. And it seems like not long before I actually met you, Dr. Ryan, every time I turned a page, it was about this flea medication is dangerous, this tech medication is dangerous, this flea collar has killed dogs. It seemed like every time I turned a page, I was reading the story, and it seems as though it's backed off. I don't know whether it's perception or reality, so that's where you chime in.
Well, I hope it's less. We do see cases. The really severe one is whenever flea medications specifically for dogs are sometimes used on cats. Those flat kill.
Is it a body weight issue or is it a chemical issue?
No, it's a chemical issue. No, it's not just body weight. You can't dose it down enough that it's still safe.
Right.
It causes a whole nervous reaction, affects the nervous system, affects all the things, and it will kill cats.
All right, when it comes to spring and summer and parasites, dogs like to get out and get in things, but it's also kind of come to my attention that dogs have problems with allergies too.
Oh, yeah. That's what we start seeing now. Dogs can be severely allergic just like we are. We tend to show our allergies, our hay fever, we call it, through runny eyes, runny nose, coughing, sneezing, and stuff. The animals, especially dogs, tend to show it more in their skin. They develop a rash. The rash itches, and they scratch and scratch, and now they've got sores on them, which are secondary to scratching all the time. And then your skin is your biggest organ in your body, and if your skin is not good, then other things can happen too. So allergies are more than just a nuisance for some pets. They are literally just really a life-threatening situation.
Especially when you explore the world with your face. You literally explore the entire world with your face. What's the first thing a dog does?
Yeah.
He sticks his face in it.
Yeah.
And whether it's goldenrod and he's trying to sniff where another dog has been,
true,
or whatever the case, they're constantly, literally in your face.
And they're closer to it, too. They're on the ground.
All the time.
They're lying on the ground and they don't have clothes on. They've got their skin right there. So,
Is one of the reasons why new research seems to indicate that having a dog helps your children's immune system, because they bring the outdoors inside. Your dog, what do you do? Oh, hey, how you doing, buddy? And you stick your head in your neck and you nuzzle, and you get a dose of the outside as well, and helps build your immune system. That's the theory.
That's true. They're saying that some of the allergy things in kids may be because they're not getting enough of that.
Enough exposure to build up your immune system. Now, there's another issue here that we're looking at, and we'll see it in the forecast. Dr. Ryan, I was in his office. It's been 2 years ago now. And I was talking to him about storm anxiety. He says, no, try this vest. And he says, I'll give you your money back if it doesn't work. I didn't come back and ask for my money, did I?
Yeah, those little huggers are amazing things. Somebody kind of picked up on the swaddling effect in children and did it for dogs.
Works.
And it does work in a large number of them. Not every single case, but boy, it
and
does
work. And in some cases, it remediates. It's not as bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Storm anxiety is a big deal. And especially if it goes on for long periods of time, because your dog just gets exhausted from just being in a constant state of hyper anxiety. Hyper anxiety, is that pretty?
Yeah, that fits. Yeah.
Storm anxiety. What's your thoughts here, especially when it comes to the act of drugging your dogs or cats?
Well, obviously this is totally natural. The nice thing is a lot of timing. When do you give, if you're going to give tranquilizers, which is what years ago all we had, give this tranquilizer. Try and give it at least a couple hours before the storm's going to show up.
Yep.
Well, they can get a job on here if they know exactly 2 hours before every storm's going to show up.
Ain't that the truth?
So you didn't know, you didn't give it, you gave it too late. Well, by that time, the dog's already wound up, and so it doesn't work very well. And then after the storm's over, it sleeps for 12 hours,
right,
because you've given it plenty and you've given it more trying to get some effect, and so it's not the best case scenario. There are some new things that are like pheromones that work too.
I tried the lavender thing because I was desperate to kind of deal with this. But the timing thing, boy, are you right on the timing thing when it comes to getting it right. I mean, I'm literally going, okay, because the dog seems to know literally.
They know before you do.
Well, before I do, and I've got radar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching the radar going, we're getting to the point where it's coming across Jackson County, it's time to drug the dog. Tryptophan is what I've started using more often, just the natural sedative that is inherent in turkey.
All things work different on different pets. Tryptophan, we know, tends to make them drowsy,
right,
mellow them out.
If it works, it works. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I know the people they're people with really big dogs. They drug them because they're literally under the coffee table and the lamps are gone and everything else.
Yeah.
They're in this sense of panic.
Yeah,
I think, and they want shelter. They want to den up, and they'll get there if they want it. You know, it's not just hiding behind the couch.
True.
And it looks as though, appears, my dog has become so deeply conditioned, knows the storm's coming, and come over and wants the special treat, and knows he wants to be drugged, or I'm projecting. I'm not sure which.
Well,
because
yeah.
we do that a lot with our pets. We have this, and we come into your office, whether you're a cat owner, your dog, or one of the cases, and we come in and we tell you what we think because we've been around. And to some extent, that helps. But sometimes we project a little too much and we try to make something human that's not.
Yeah.
That's got to be a tough one for you, Doc.
Well, any of that. And I guess that's what why they call it practicing, or maybe the art of medicine or whatever. I know with all the sophisticated tests that we have, all the things that we can do now that we couldn't used to, you still can get an awful lot of diagnoses made if you listen to the owner and look at the pet. There's a saying in veterinary medicine, you miss more by not looking than you do by not knowing. And that fits every day. It's amazing how many things you pick up if you can really look well. And
the power
listen
of
to the owners.
Yeah.
And this is kind of an aside, but it's kind of a cute thing. Sometimes listen to the kids, because they will tell you exactly what's going on whenever the owner may think, he's going to think I'm a bad owner. If I tell him that this has actually been going on for 4 weeks, I'm going to tell him it's going on for 4 days. And the kids will say, no, Dad, don't you remember? That dog was limping way back before my birthday.
Right.
Yeah. I've experienced that more than once.
Right, in the art of diagnosis. Now, you know, there's a thing that happens every year. People go to the store and they roll up the windows and they leave their dogs.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I want to keep this broad, too, because summer, and depending on the color of the coat of your dog, summer can be really hard on some animals. Maybe they're older. Maybe they've got some existing health conditions. How hot is too hot for a dog? And your suggestion on being able to keep our pets cool this summer. And by the way, we'll go under the theme that if you know it's 90 and you put your dog in the car, you're really just an idiot. There's nothing that could be done for you. You probably didn't get basic science. There's nothing we've done. But for people who care, where's that margin? Where's the line? What's your care suggestions?
Well, you've got to treat them just like a kid with a fur coat on. Okay, they can take no more. Their temperature's a little bit higher, but it's not that much. They run 101. Okay, we're 98. That's not enough that you can make a real distinction there. And then, like I said, it's like that child with a fur coat. People wouldn't think of putting their kid in a fur coat in the summertime and leave them in the parking lot with the windows rolled up for 5 minutes. I mean, even that length.
Right.
Well, don't leave your pet for 5 minutes either.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. And it's interesting because during the summer, the pet can just say, look, I mean, we're talking about a totally different system on cooling than humans have. And there comes a point where even you're out walking in some portions of the day and your dog's black, say, for instance, he's telling you he needs to go lay down. Somebody who leaves a dog outside in the summer, shade, water, other suggestions?
Shade and plenty of water. They are acclimated to it. I mean, we acclimate to things if we're outside there all the time. The house pet that went out would have more problems, but the pet that's been out there all the time, shade and water, and they'll take pretty much, you know, whatever the temperatures are. Now, we sometimes get those ridiculous 107, 108, 109 days. You probably need to take some special precautions there. At least put a moving air on them, if you can put a fan,
right,
that type of thing. But if they've got access to wide open spaces, plenty of water, and good shade, they know not to run around.
As a veterinarian with literally years of experience, I'm going to go ahead and get this call now. I'm sorry that they had to wait so long ringing. Morning, how are you today?
Jesse.
Hi, Jesse. How are you, pal?
Got a question for you, Doc.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jesse.
This product that's advertised relentlessly, DinoVite.
DinoVite. They've cooked all the enzymes out of the food. DinoVite gives it all back to you. My dog's back in the old dog he used to be. And you know what? And Jesse and I, we're not big fans of snake oil salesmen. Is this snake oil?
Well, Here's kind of, and this may be oversimplifying, but there's some people out there, Hills, which is owned by Palmolive, Colgate. There's Purina, which is like half of St. Louis up there.
Right.
There's a few more large companies like that that spend literally millions and millions of dollars on their research. You have a product that comes along that has only some testing to it, and most of that is word of mouth, or it's
anecdotal.
Anecdotal. Thank you. I was trying to think of the word, Tom. It's just anecdotal, and it gets advertised. Now, I haven't tested that product myself. I haven't used it, but if it was as good as it says it is, I think we would all have our clinics full of it and be handing that out to every skin case that came in.
That's interesting.
That's one of the big things, you know, is skin. So I'm not going to tell you no, and if it works, I would love to hear from you, but I would say kind of buyer beware.
One of my questions is there any ingredient in there that might be suspect?
I really haven't read the label. Yeah. I really haven't looked at that. I probably ought to do that sometime, but I really haven't read the label, Jesse. So I've got to plead ignorance on that.
But maybe we can. You and I can find out together. Well, one of us will order it, and we'll tell the other one how it works. All right, Jess.
If you do, seriously, I'd love to hear from you. But I've had a lot of clients use those things, and they don't usually continue to.
Hey, thanks, Jesse, for calling. Talk to you again soon, pal. All right, buddy. All right. Hey, before I let you go today, you've been doing this for, how long have you been doing this, Dr. Ryan? A long time. I've
been doing it for 44 years.
44 years,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long time. Yeah. Maybe time to hang it up, Tom.
October is my 40th anniversary doing this.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
we started about the same time.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
So, and the thing is, well, fortunately, after 44 years, you pick up experience, cumulative experience, where you talked about it, practice, and calling it an art earlier. If you had a pet owner sitting in a room full of them and you said, look, I'm going to be able to pass on my experience to you as a veterinarian, here's the essentials for pet care. Here's the thing that we're not doing well and I'd like to see change. And you work in that area. From your lifetime experience to a pet owner, what's the key to being a good pet owner and having a healthy, happy pet?
Well, let me give you the number one thing that causes more problems. I do orthopedics. You know that. I mean, mm-hmm. I do a ton of them every day. I got two knees to do this morning. One of the keys to good, healthy pets is a good weight. Same thing for us. You know, if we all weighed what we should because we actually went out and did physical labor, we'd all probably be healthier. Pets. Probably the number one issue that for everyone. You know, there's some
cat, dog.
Cats, dogs, everyone. For everyone, if they would keep that pet at least close to a normal weight for it, they will have less health issues, less bone issues, just less kidney, less liver. Everything just kind of starts taking a back seat, and that dog's going to be, our cat, is going to be healthier and live longer without problems.
What I'm hearing, though, behind you, Dr. Ryan, behind that statement is, we love our dogs. We don't always communicate well with them because, well, and so we show our love through food, and then we make them obese. Is that an oversimplification, or did get to the heart of it?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we do. And sometimes, you know, really sometimes we don't recognize that a healthy pet, you should see ribs a little bit, especially if it's a short-haired pet. You should be able to see ribs.
Right.
We like that nice, sleek look. Mm-hmm. You know, the story goes, the horseman says to another, that sure is a beautiful horse. The other guy's blind. He said, I bet it's overweight. You know,
right.
Because that's what looks good. You know, the
yep.
lines are filled out, and everything looks good. And it's
interesting.
No different for for everything.
Their dogs. Number one would be weight. How that plays on the weight and the dog. What happens? The dog jumps off on the couch and he weighs too much. And what is he doing to his front paws?
There goes a cruciate. There goes a patella.
And certain dogs that are already predisposed towards hip dysplasia because of breeding habits. You've exacerbated a known situation in known breeds because you've let your dog get obese.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, when you said that, I did something. I experimented this morning in preparation for you. I looked on top of the refrigerator for how many different kinds of dog treats I had for my dog. You want to take a guess?
I would say over 5.
12.
Okay. Well, you're in a different category. Over 5 would gets most people.
Yeah. And my first thought is, because I'll be going down to take my dog for his checkup here this month, is that I'm going to have to keep walking him a lot more to lose the weight so I don't get the lecture on the weight, because it's like being a parent. Your kid's fat. You know what I mean?
There you go.
And that's Dr. Gordon Ryan and every other veterinarian's practice in a nutshell. This is my hairy kid, right? Take care of him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's how that works. Yeah. Dr. Gordon Ryan. Dr. Ryan, it's always a privilege.
Oh, me too, Tom.
And good luck.